Give and Go podcast with your hosts, Mateo Danner and myself, Chris Jones. We're presented today by Bag of Donut Sports. We got a lot of interesting topics to cover, including Steph Curry, underrated players, and we're going to do a little FMK with NBA girlfriends and wives later, but let's get straight to the action. Mateo, let's talk about Steph Curry.
Okay, for the first topic, Steph Curry. Apparently, the two-time MVP does not believe the moon landing actually happened. He was on a podcast, and he was inferring it, and then he just straight out said it, like, I don't think it happened. It was staged by the government. What do we got to say about that?
I got to say that it's a marketing stunt.
You know, I've thought about that too, and it definitely gets his name out there. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about Kyrie Irving with the whole flat earth shit. Like, I mean, like, you talk about publicity, like, bad publicity, good publicity, it doesn't matter. Like, you're getting your name out there, you're getting more people to pay attention to you, and I mean, that's the, I feel like that was the ultimate goal with this, if I'm being honest with myself.
Yeah, and if you still think that Kyrie Irving believes the world is flat in 2018, then you're too gullible.
Yeah.
You just are.
Yeah, I mean, who actually believes that? It's just a publicity stunt. But anyway, Steph Curry, speaking of him, what are the Warriors without Steph Curry?
Not a championship team.
I completely agree. I mean, what do we do? They're 5-6 without Steph Curry, and you know that whole altercation between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. I feel like if Steph Curry was active and on the floor, like he would have done something to, you know, ease the tension between those two guys. I mean, because Steph Curry is the natural leader of that team, and this is just evidence to prove it. Like, you take off Steph Curry, and these guys are just massive egos, just butting heads. And I think Steph Curry on the floor could have done something to at least ease the tension between those two guys.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, Mateo. I mean, according to Yahoo Sports, Draymond Green, quote-unquote, told Kevin Durant, we don't need you, we won without you, leave. So I think it's a whole lot more than just, you know, just basketball with not having Steph Curry. It's locker room issues, his leadership, his presence there. He is the glue to that team. And without him, you know, that supposedly leaves Kevin Durant as the best player on the team. But obviously, guys like Draymond Green aren't completely cool with that. And the record's 5-6 without Curry. And if you ask me, Kevin Durant is not fit to lead a team to a championship on his own.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't see. I mean, come on. This guy has a massive ego. You know, he can score out the wazoo. I mean, he's probably going to be the best scorer when it's all said and done. But, I mean, as a leader, like, I just don't see the Warriors winning a championship without Steph on the floor.
No. No way, Jose. I mean, the Warriors are the Warriors because of Steph. They were the best three-point shooting team ever. The Splash Bros before Kevin Durant got there.
Yeah, 73-9 without him.
Yeah, and, you know, you have to guard Steph Curry as soon as he crosses the half-court line. That completely changes the dynamic of the game. That completely spreads out the defense on the floor. It just creates a lot of more opportunities that otherwise you would not have with Steph Curry on the floor. And that's just the difference of not having him.
Yeah. And another thing about that is, like, I mean, to get Kevin Durant to be on that team, they had to clear house, like, a little bit. Like, on that 73-9 team, the whole roster was just deep as shit. Like, and now,
totally.
I mean, they had to give up a couple assets to get Kevin Durant. So whenever you lose, like, your most valuable asset, Steph Curry, like, you have Quinn Cook starting as the point guard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to, like, take shots at Quinn Cook. Like, he's a good player. He's in the NBA.
We got boys like Cook and Bell and who the fuck, essentially.
Like, no. Kevin Looney, Quinn Cook. I mean, I don't know, like. I mean, those guys weren't there for the 73-9 season, so I mean, I don't know.
If you were a Warriors fan, would you actually prefer if the 2015 and 16 Warriors were the same Warriors today, that they still had that super deep bench? Would you actually prefer that? Because I think Kevin Durant is very likely to leave after this season next season once they're in the new stadium in San Francisco.
I mean, if I were a Warriors fan, I would definitely prefer, like, what happened, like, back in 2016. I like that team. You talk about basketball being a team game. Like, that team was fucking flawless. And, I mean, they could have won, but, you know, LeBron is the fucking best to ever do it, and he just annihilated them like LeBron will do to you. And speaking of LeBron, LeBron and Wade, they had their final game the other night in L.A. Pretty sentimental stuff.
Emotions were high.
Exactly. You know, Dwayne Wade had a good game. Obviously, he's on the decline, but, you know, they traded jerseys at the end of the game. And
hey, Wade had 15 points, 10 assists.
Yeah,
that's pretty solid.
I mean, that's not bad.
What is he, 34, 35 years old? No, he's 2 years older than LeBron.
Yeah, because...
Because he went to college. He's educated.
Yeah, he went to... How long did Dwayne Wade go to college for? Just 1 or 2 years?
I believe 2 years, or maybe at Marquette. I mean, I know for... I've heard before that he has 2 years on LeBron in terms of age.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but that jersey exchange, that was quite something. That's the coolest jersey exchange I think I've ever seen. Dwayne Wade jersey with LeBron James Lakers.
I mean, I'm one of those guys that was – I'm just a huge LeBron fan. I don't even have, like, a set team. Like, wherever LeBron goes, like, that's the fucking squad I'm going to cheer for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a – it was just really sentimental to see LeBron and Wade. Like, you talk about, like, teammates. Like, those guys are, like, way more than teammates. Those guys are, like, legitimately, like really good friends, like, best friends. Like, yeah. It goes deeper than basketball. So, seeing that that final game in Staples Center, that was really sentimental to me at least.
It, you know, that was great for them, and it was great for the fans. I mean, who didn't love that night, honestly, as in the NBA world?
Exactly.
But, you know, let's get to the real shit, honestly. I want to talk Luka fucking Doncic, all
let's
right?
Do it.
And I'm going to say it right now. This guy is all-star. This guy is an all-star. He has all-star potential. I do not think he is, you know, Jason Tatum's arguably declining right now. There's some people talking shit, saying we overrated him last year. He got too much hype as a rookie. And I've heard people try to compare that to Luka. And I say, bro, have you watched Luka play? Have you watched him take over in the last minute of fourth quarters? Have you seen his step back threes?
His step back three. I was literally just about to say that. I mean, this kid, where is he from? Slovenia, born in 1999. Oh, my God.
Like, started playing the EuroLeague when he was 16 years old, all right? And he, out of any player in the NBA, he had the longest active streak of playing basketball than anyone. That's why he didn't play preseason this year, because he literally went 18 straight months playing Euro basketball without quitting. I mean, that is insane.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it just goes to show this guy's work ethic. And
hey, Luka Mavericks beat the Stephless Warriors, if that's saying anything. I know we just talked shit on Stephless Warriors, but Luka Doncic got business done.
Honestly, the Mavericks, like, they could make it to the playoffs, but
they're sitting at 7. If the playoffs start today, they would be the 7th seed.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, who else they got? They got DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, Dirk's old as dirt. He's not.
They got Dennis Smith Jr.
Dennis Smith Jr. I forgot about that. Yeah, but when we're talking about comparing Luka and Jason Tatum, Jason Tatum, he's averaging 16.6, 1.9 assists, and 6.3 rebounds. We look at Luka this year, he's averaging 18 points per game, 4 assists per game, and 7 rebounds per game. So, I mean, as far as statistics go, Luka has the slight edge on Mr. Jason Tatum.
Now, how much do you think of Jason's slump is because simply Gordon Hayward's now getting minutes, or how much do you think it is of just growing pains and whatnot, and that he still isn't completely polished yet as a player?
I feel like it could be a little bit of both. Like, as you said, Gordon Hayward, I mean, tragic injury last year. I'm glad that he's back to his full health. But, I mean, Jason Tatum didn't really have, like, a roadblock in his way to being on that starting spot. Because, I mean, he played really well last year, almost went to the finals, got stopped by LeBron, the GOAT, shout out. But, I mean, Brad Stevens, you look at his past, Brad Stevens, he's a Butler guy. And what is Gordon Hayward?
He's a Butler guy.
A Butler guy. So,
he is,
I mean,
the Butler guy that got Brad Stevens the job he has today.
Exactly.
Gordon Hayward was the star of the Butler team that went to, I believe it's the same team that won March Madness. It may be the team the year before that lost in March Madness, but still, the the two of them went to back-to-back March Madnesses, and because of Gordon Hayward, Brad Stevens got elevated into an NBA coaching job.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think there's an obvious bias going on here with Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward, because, I mean...
It's a sensitive situation for him. He has a disposition to Gordon Hayward, to a guy that, you know, together in their careers, yeah, they've been very beneficial for each other. So, when Gordon Hayward comes back off an injury, naturally, Brad Stevens has an inclination to help him out, to help him get, you know, some bigger numbers or whatever, yeah, have you, because obviously everyone knows that the Celtics are struggling with their rotation minutes.
Yeah.
And they have to get rid of someone. And if they have to get rid of Gordon Hayward, you know, Brad Stevens, he has a love for Gordon Hayward that he doesn't want Gordon Hayward's career to be ruined out of, yeah, this small guy, time, the guy's 28 in Boston.
He's 28 right now. So, I mean, yeah, that's another thing. This guy had a horrible injury. I mean, I feel like there's obviously a little bit of sympathy going on between Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward. And, I mean, Gordon Hayward, like, as of recently, he's been playing all right. I mean, his last 10 games, he's gotten 12 points per game, 5 assists per game, 6 rebounds per game, 43% field goal percentage. So, I mean, he's been doing all right. I mean, who do I think's better? Obviously, I got to go with Jason Tatum. He's the younger guy. He hasn't had any...
He has more long-term potential.
He does. I mean, like I said, Gordon Hayward's already 28 years old. We look at Jason Tatum, fucking 20 years old. The guy's younger than me, for God's sake. But, I mean, I don't know. As far as that rotation goes, I mean, Jason Tatum, he hasn't been playing as well as you'd hope to. So, I mean, if you're a coach, like, that's what you do. Like, I mean, this is their job. Like, if you don't perform well, you're not going to get your starting spot. So, I mean, as long as Jason Tatum's kind of in a little slump and Gordon Hayward's improving, I don't really see a problem with Gordon Hayward in the starting lineup, especially with the chemistry that Brad Stevens and Hayward have.
I mean, I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit there. If you ask me who the fourth best team in the East is right now, I say this Boston Celtics. Talent-wise, they should be first. We all predicted them to be first. Why are they not first? They have the same team as last year with Kyrie, with Gordon back, but they're playing worse. So there's something there about either Kyrie or Hayward or the combination of both that isn't boding well chemistry-wise with the players that almost beat LeBron's Cavs in a 7-game series in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, there's not enough minutes to give.
So who do you get rid of?
If I'm Brad Stevens...
Yeah, the only way for the Celtics to get better is by doing a little thinning.
If I'm Danny Ainge, I mean, I like Jason Tatum. I'm keeping Jason Tatum and kicking Hayward to the curb. I mean, yeah. I hate to say it, Gordon Hayward's a great player, had a great career, but
who are you trying to get though?
Who am I trying to get?
As much as I hate to say it, because I want to see AD come to the Lakers. And I think that's a very likely scenario, considering that AD and LeBron have the same agent and that AD purposely, I mean, it's who knows, I mean, for real, but LeBron already had that agent before AD signed with him. So AD signing with him, it's pretty obvious what his intentions were. Moving forward, though, if I was Danny Ainge, I would try to trade some of these stars for Anthony Davis.
Not a bad idea. I mean... you look at the starting five right now for the Celtics is it's Rozier, Smart, Tatum, Marcus Morris, and Thies. So I mean, obviously right now they're pretty they have a bunch of injuries. But
is Al Horford injured right now?
Yeah, I guess so. This is their starting lineup like as of right now. So, I mean, but even when they're fully healthy, their starting power forward is Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I love Marcus Morris, like, rock chalk, baby, you know? I know you don't like that.
Yeah, the Jayhawks suck. Anyways.
Yeah, it's whatever. We're not going to talk college. But I love Marcus Morris. But as far as, like, you know, like, your starting power forward, like, you could do better than Marcus Morris.
I agree. And I think Al Horford is tight. I think he's a beast. But Anthony Davis is better. Obviously,
yeah.
Anthony Davis could be an MVP this year. And I would try to conduct a trade that you send over Al Horford and Gordon Hayward, maybe throw in, I don't know, a third guy like I mean, I like Marcus Smart a lot for his defense, but I mean, the Celtics are deep. They can throw a third guy in there, and that would be enticeful enough for the Pelicans to trade away Anthony Davis, because they hear all the rumors. They know Anthony Davis is doing deals with LeBron. They know that he's got the same agent as LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're gonna lose him anyways, why not get something out of him? And I think that if I was Danny Ainge, I would be exploiting that opportunity, because that's a perfect trade for the Pelicans. They can get Al Horford to replace Anthony Davis at the center. Sure, he's not as good, but hey, you know, it is something. And then they'll also be able to get a wing in Hayward and maybe a defensive player like Marcus Smart.
Yeah. And going back to Al Horford, he actually he's out for a few games with left knee pain, so nothing too serious. But I mean, Al Horford, yeah, he's a great asset. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, what would the Pelicans, like, what do they need for Anthony Davis? Because, like, going back to the whole Laker conversation, I mean, like, huge LeBron guy, they need Anthony Davis. You know, the Lakers need Anthony Davis, man.
You know what I'd really hate to see?
What is that?
If Anthony Davis gets traded to the Wizards because the Pelicans want Bradley Beal or John Wall, I would hate that so much.
Dude.
Because you know that in both organizations aren't going anywhere. You know, no. Anthony Davis and ain't Scott winning a title.
Scott Brooks is just a cuck, man. I mean, OKC kicked him to the curb, and then the fucking Wizards picked him up. But, I mean, I don't know. That team, I mean, I think it really goes to show, like, how mediocre of a coach Scott Brooks is. Because, like, you look at that lineup, like, you got Wall, Beal, Otto Porter, who is a really good shooter, Kelly Oubre, who's on the come up. And, I mean, you got an old, deteriorating Dwight Howard. They should be good. But, I mean, I guess, like, Scott Brooks is just not getting to their heads.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not that great of a coach, and it's clear to see with this amazing lineup that they have, and they're still, like, they're complete shit, man.
Well, here's the other thing. John Wall ain't the same John Wall from when that super cool song came out when we were in middle school.
He ain't on Kentucky anymore.
John Wall, 4 nights ago against rookie point guard Colin Sexton,
who
plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let me pull up this Instagram really quick.
Yeah,
he got 4 points.
Yeah, while you're doing that, the Wizards this year, 11-16, they're 10th in the East right now. So, I mean, you look at this lineup, you're like, yeah, like, this is a playoff team on paper. But in real life, apparently they're not. I mean, they're decent at home. They're 7-5 at home, 4-11 on the road. Their last 10, they're 5-5 and even split. But I mean, simply put, this team, they just have to be better.
Yeah. I actually was being too generous on John Wall. John Wall got 1 point, 4 rebounds, 6 assists against Colin Sexton, while rookie Colin got 29 points, 3 rebounds, and 6 assists.
Damn.
Keep in mind that John Wall is a 5-time All-Star, 9-year veteran, and has a $207 million deal.
They're not getting their money's worth up in Washington.
Yeah, he ain't playing like it.
Not at all.
And if I'm any other team, I'm trying to trade for Bradley Beal, not John Wall. But so you know how I said the Celtics are acting like the 4th best team in the East right now?
Yeah.
Well, the Rockets, record-wise, are the 2nd to last team in the West.
Yeah. 12-14. That's shocking.
Houston, we got a problem.
To say the least, man. I mean, where do we begin with this?
I begin with Trevor Ariza. I think they miss his defensive presence. I think they miss his aggressiveness. And
speaking of Trevor Ariza, the Lakers are trying to get him, as a side note. So
I heard that rumor. And exactly. You know what? I would be a fan. Hey, Lonzo Ball is already a defensive fucking beast. Everyone wants to shit on Lonzo Ball's shot. But, I mean, have you seen Lonzo Ball play on the defensive side of the court? Do you know that he's a leader in steals?
Dude, Lonzo Ball is a true point guard. Like, okay, like, yeah, he can't shoot that well, whatever.
But LeBron can.
LeBron can shoot.
Kuzma's been putting up 20-plus past 4 games. What they need Lonzo to do is...
Kuzma's been eating recently, man.
Yeah.
Eating.
The Lakers don't need Lonzo to be a stud on offense. They need him to be exactly what he's talented at, which is... being aggressive, which is being a defensive player, shutting down opposing teams' point guards, which in today's NBA is huge. Almost every NBA team has a star point guard. Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, Kyrie Irving.
John Wall.
Like, the point guard position
goes on and on.
In 2018 is possibly the most dominant position somehow, which is kind of weird to say for basketball, but that's kind of how it is today.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, back in the old days, like, what were point guards meant to do? Like, when I think of a point guard, like, I want to think of, like, an Oscar Robertson or a Magic Johnson. Like, these guys, like, they didn't, like, shoot the best, but goddamn, man, they could do everything on the court. Rebound, assist, play defense. But, I mean, the point guard position has really evolved, and these guys are fucking lights-out shooters now. Like, essentially, they're, like, shooting guards who can pass and rebound like a fucking point guard can.
Yeah. I mean, Russell Westbrook is the rebound leader of his team, essentially, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
Part of that is also because of how efficient of a team they are when he starts the play every single time, when he gets the rebound and takes it the other end. And talking about Russell Westbrook, man, I'm going to put this take on there. Russell Westbrook is actually a great teammate. Despite what the media says, despite how the media has been bashing him ever since KD left, despite how the media wants to call him Mr. Triple-Double or whatever have you, look at his numbers this season. He's given out more assists than points. Dennis Schroeder is getting points out there. Paul George is putting up insane numbers. He had 25 points in the fourth quarter the other night.
That was insane.
Russell Westbrook's playing like a true teammate, and the Oklahoma City Thunder have the best record in the Western Conference right now.
Exactly. And going back to what you said about the problems between Russell and KD, like, yeah, you said the media, they took a shit on Westbrook for, like, the whole altercation with KD that supposedly made KD leave. But now looking at KD's issues in Golden State, like, you got to think to yourself, like, okay, maybe Westbrook wasn't the problem. Maybe it was KD. Because so far in his career, every team that KD has gone to, albeit it's been two teams, but every team that KD has gone to, he has gotten into an altercation with one of his players.
Yeah, and every time we hear drama about the Warriors, who is it because? It's because of Kevin Durant,
the
snake.
Because
of something that happened on Twitter, some comment he said to a reporter that was passive-aggressive, something between him and Draymond Green. I mean, we can go on. It's because of Kevin Durant. I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder, before Kevin Durant left, they were up 3-1 against the Warriors. Don't forget that.
I will not.
They were up 3-1. So they may as well. They're essentially good enough to get to the championship. They were right there. They had it in their hands. And, I mean, it was up in the cookie jar. Kevin Durant's just a snake. He took the easy way out. I'm sorry, KD fans, but that's just the way I see it. He's a snake, and he went over to Golden State for the easy dub, leaving Russell Westbrook out in the cold. Russell Westbrook gets blamed for being a bad teammate for Kevin Durant leaving. But hey, what has Russell Westbrook actually done since? He became the MVP the next following year, setting triple-double stat records, beating the records.
Beating Oscar Robertson's record.
Yeah, getting the most triple-doubles ever.
And now look at them. They're number one in the West right now.
They're number one in the West, and he got Paul George to stay in OKC when everyone thought that he was going to...
Dude, I was like 99.99% sure he was going to be a Laker.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed. Like, fuck, dude. That really pissed me off. But, I'm happy for him. They're doing good right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, So don't call Russell Westbrook a bad teammate when he was able to keep Paul George there.
Exactly.
Paul George is very happy right
now.
And
those two guys are
eating,
like,
Applebee's in Oklahoma City.
Those guys are like two peas in a pod right now, man. I mean, they're fucking killing it. 17-8. Oh, my God. 8-6 in the conference. 10-3 at home. Dude, you're not beating OKC in OKC.
So this leads me to the next topic I want to talk about, and that is, who is the second best team in the Western Conference? Now, record-wise...
it's the Warriors.
Well, record-wise, it's not the... Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, they're in second place? Yeah, they are. Okay, but the Warriors are obviously the best team in the league. They just haven't had Steph for 11 games.
I mean, all, like, records aside and statistics aside, you know, I'm a big numbers guy, but if I were, hypothetically speaking, if I were to just look at all the teams in the West and say, who's the second best team in the West other than the Warriors, I'd have to go with the Los Angeles Lakers. And my reason being, they have LeBron James. Simply put.
LeBron James, get a... listen to this stat right here. No Laker ever has scored more points in their first 25 games as a Laker than LeBron James has this season with 717. Not Kareem, not Shaq, not Wilt, not Magic, not Kobe. Now, Kobe was 17 years old in his first season as a Laker, so we're going to give him a little pass on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But still, LeBron James is starting his Laker career on a note that he might end up as the best Laker to ever play.
That is going to trigger a lot of people.
In his
16th
season in the league, keep in mind.
Exactly. Like, what? Okay, let's look at his stats this year. 28 points per game, 7 assists per game, 8 rebounds per game, player efficiency rating of 27.44. You know, he's averaging more points this season than he is, like, his career averages. So, I mean, like, what I've been hearing about the Lakers is, like, okay, LeBron James, like, he's already established himself as he's the best player in the world, debatably the best player of all time, and he's just fucking killing it. But apparently, a lot of sports writers are talking about it's leaving all these young guys. Like, they're saying that LeBron is stunting their growth as, like, NBA players.
You know, I kind of have to agree with him in a point in that if you watch Laker games, you'll notice that they'll take LeBron out when they're up in the fourth quarter, and it seems like the game is won. Because they want their guys like Kuzma and they want Brandon Ingram to get that experience out there. They want them to close the game, right?
Yeah.
And it's regular season, so, you know, you think you could afford it. Problem being, a lot of times these teams have came back and they have to put LeBron right back in. And LeBron, you know, doing what he does, he finishes it. He wins the game for his squad.
Yeah.
But, so in that sense, I will say that LeBron is kind of carrying the Lakers. But
He is most definitely carrying
LeBron,
that squad.
Isn't that what LeBron has always done, though? LeBron publicly has stated multiple times, "Yo, it's not about me playing 30 minutes or something and playing more games. No, I'm a better player when I play 40, 44 minutes, but I get a few games, but then maybe get a game or two rest." And I mean, that's just who LeBron is. LeBron, every time he gets on the court, he takes over the game. And LeBron's teams have been best when his teammates realize that their best chance of winning is to feed into LeBron and his skills.
Exactly. I mean, the best thing for LeBron James is just surround him with people who compliment him. And in this day and age, LeBron needs shooters. And
so who are you saying? You saying Bradley Beal? You saying...
You know, Bradley Beal, like, I feel like that'd be a settle. Because, you know, I've been saying this for the past, like, 4 or 5 months. Like, I really, really want Klay Thompson to be a Laker next year. And I don't know how possible it is, but, like, if I'm hypothetically speaking, like, who's the player that I want alongside LeBron James? Other than Kawhi Leonard, because he'd be my first choice, it'd have to be Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson is the best catch-and-shoot shooter of all time.
Yeah. I mean, in this day and age, you got to spread the floor. Like, it's like even Greg Popovich was talking about this. Like, the Spurs have been struggling, and Greg Popovich was just like, he said something along the lines of, like, this isn't even, like, fucking basketball anymore, man. Like, you have all of these guys just shooting lights out. Like, it's a completely different game nowadays.
We have centers shooting threes nowadays.
Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic is the trendsetter of future NBA centers. Holy
fuck. Oh my god, dude.
This guy has the vision of a star point guard, all-star point guard, let me say.
He's averaging more assists than Jamal Murray.
Yeah. The guy's getting double-digit rebound points and assists as a center. How is that possible? You have to guard this center. You have to guard this 7-footer,
dude,
after he crosses the half-court line. He's basically a taller he's almost a taller Steph.
Exactly. Dude, I don't know what they're doing to these young bucks over in Europe, but they're just fucking shitting out, like, all-star potential guys.
I can't wait till Porzingis comes back, man.
Oh my god, dude. Like, what is it with those guys, man? What do they feed those kids in Europe, dude?
I don't know, but I want to eat some of the Wheaties that Luka's eating, that's for sure.
Luka, fucking Porzingis.
Hey, I want to go back to the Spurs, though, that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because there's something really hot, a really hot stat I got here about DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan scored 30-plus points in all 4 games in L.A. against the Lakers this season, which is the first time the Lakers have allowed that at home in over 36 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that the Spurs could be a playoff team, but at the end of the day, I just don't really see them as a threat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree. I have big respects for both DeMar and Pop, so, I mean, that's why I'm kind of rooting for them. But I want to go back to earlier. You know, we're big LeBron fans here, and we have a little bias.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm actually going to disagree with you a little bit, and I think it's very well possible that the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Denver Nuggets and Jokic, I think one of those two teams possibly could beat the Lakers, give them a run for their money, and go to the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors.
Okay, it's definitely possible. You know, I'm not gonna hate on that take. But when you talk about regular season teams and you talk about playoff teams, and Oklahoma City, like, they're great, you know. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about the regular season right now. And when the lights are the brightest, and when the fucking game is on the line, I got to go with LeBron James every single time.
Yeah. I mean, he was able to carry that Cavs team last year. That's arguably even worse than the 07 team. I
really
mean,
shitty.
It's very arguable that LeBron James has carried the two worst NBA Finals teams of all time. Single-handedly.
Oh, yeah. That 2008 Cavs team was so bad. Like, really bad.
Yeah. Like, Mo Williams and Gauskas and Drew Gooden. Yeah, I mean, those guys are studs. But, I mean, I think where the Nuggets and the Thunder may have a chip on the Lakers is that I think they're deeper than the Lakers. I think the Lakers are a little top-heavy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, when you look at the bench of the Lakers, like, the only guy who, like, stands out, to me at least, is Josh Hart.
I think they should hold on to Josh Hart. In terms of Laker trade talks, I say keep Kuzma and keep Josh Hart. I don't know what you think, but I think Ingram should go.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think Ingram should go, but I mean, like what I was saying earlier, like if the Lakers want to get Anthony Davis, like it's going to cost more than just Brandon Ingram. So I mean, like what else? Like I'm trying to think of like what other assets could we give, because I mean, I agree. Like I think I don't know. I mean, Kuzma's great. But if we could replace him with Anthony Davis, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, definitely. I mean, here, this is Kuzma's last four games. 20 points, 8 out of 16 field goals, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Next game, 27, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. Then 22, 9 and 5. And then lastly, 23 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, if you ask me, Kuzma is definitely, I think he's the second best player on the Lakers as of currently. I agree with you that if you have the chance to get someone like AD or whoever have you, you know, maybe give him up. But Brandon Ingram is not he's not living up to the hype of being able to be LeBron's two guy.
Yeah,
and I don't think he'll be able to, because his game requires the ball.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly what I was about to say. Like the thing, LeBron and Brandon Ingram, their playing styles do not match up well, like at all. And, like, you're right. Brandon Ingram needs the ball in his hands to play to his full potential. And when you have a guy like LeBron on the floor, the ball needs to be in LeBron's hands.
Yeah.
And that's why I like guys like Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma, because those guys,
they know how to play off the ball.
Yeah.
They know how to run screens.
Exactly. And the reason why Kyle Kuzma has been playing so well is because, I mean, this guy can shoot threes. And he can spread the floor, too. And that's a really valuable asset in the game nowadays. A power forward who can shoot the ball is – that like, if you pair that with LeBron, like, that's what he needs. And speaking of – dude, I mean, look at all of the power forwards LeBron has played within his career. You got Chris Bosh, who was a guy like that, a power forward who can shoot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played center towards the end of his Miami run. But, yeah, a big man who can shoot. Then we move to Cavaliers. Kevin Love, another fucking big man who can shoot.
Kuzma is very similar to those two power forwards. I will give you that.
He is. But I mean, that's why Kyle Kuzma has been showing out recently. But I don't know. I mean, going back to if we could get rid of Kuzma for AD, I'd do it in a second. But I mean, the thing about Kuzma is like, okay, LeBron's 33 years old. Yeah, LeBron is 33 years old. And I mean, Kuzma, he's developing into that all-star player that he could very well be one day. I mean, he's going to be an all-star one day. Like, the kid's great. But as of right now, like, LeBron needs someone who is in their prime right now.
Well, yeah, and that's why, you know, as you mentioned, and I just, to be honest, because I think KD, since I think KD is the most likely Warrior to leave, I see Klay Thompson staying if KD leaves, quite honestly. Now, if KD stays, I think that's the opportunity for Klay Thompson to become a Laker, because I think Klay, after, you know, his contract ends, he's probably going to be wanting to look for an opportunity that proves himself a little bit more to the league and to everyone, you know? So that's why if the Warriors stay with their current team, that, you know, with KD, that's how I could see Klay Thompson wanting to leave. But otherwise, I think he's just going to continue the Splash Bros action. But Klay Thompson is a perfect example of who LeBron needs, because Klay Thompson, as I said earlier, is the best catch and shoot, three-point shooter, whatever there is, or ever has been in the NBA. And that's exactly what LeBron needs. LeBron needs guys who can play off the ball, guys who can screen, cut, get open.
Exactly. We don't need any ball handlers to come to LA. And
it wouldn't hurt him, though, to have one guy who can take a little bit of the pressure off of him.
Yeah, and that guy is Lonzo
Kyrie
Ball.
Kyrie provided that for a little bit of time.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, let's be honest.
No, that guy is Rajon Rondo, not Lonzo.
I like Rondo, but I mean, I think as of right now, Lonzo Ball is definitely the better option.
Yeah.
Especially with Rondo. I mean, that guy is like I don't want to call him fragile, because like that's kind of like has a negative connotation, but he's injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
He is. And you never know when that guy could just fucking fall apart like mid game and have to like leave. So I'd be willing to depend on Lonzo Ball as opposed to Rajon Rondo.
No, I also got a stat here that Rondo / Laker fans may not like, and it's about Julius Randle's last five games, who the Lakers traded away to get Rajon Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
His last five games: 20 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists; 28 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists; 26, 13 and 3; 27, 18 and 1. 37-8-4, Mateo. Should the Lakers kept Julius Randle?
Well, I mean, looking back at it, you said that they traded him away to get Rondo. And I mean, what's Rondo doing right now? He's sitting on the bench in a suit because he's injured. So the assets that the Lakers acquired for Julius Randle are currently not doing anything right now. So if you're asking me right now, should they have done it? No.
Okay. Are you familiar with playoff Rondo, though?
I'm familiar with Celtics Rondo back in 2008, glory days.
I completely agree with you in that the Lakers probably lost this trade, but...
Yeah, they definitely did.
But I also feel like it's a situation we're going to have to reevaluate when LeBron's actually in the playoffs, because... All of LeBron's teammates outside of Rondo are basically young studs.
Yeah, they're a bunch of kids.
Yeah, they're a bunch of kids, and we're going to see how the big lights, how playoff time really affects them. Maybe Kuzma can live up to the pressure, who knows. But
yeah, that's the thing.
Come playoff time, I think who LeBron's going to rely off the most, besides himself, is probably going to be Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, I mean, as far as playoff experience goes, like, I could definitely see that. I mean, because, you know, Rondo's been there, done that. And last year in New Orleans, like, Rondo, like, he kind of went off. Like, he proved that he could still do it. But, I mean, Rondo's getting up there. And like I said, like, I like Lonzo Ball right now. That's just me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mateo, I'm going to spice it up. You ready for some fuck, kill, marry?
All right, let's do it.
All right, Gabrielle Union, a.k.a. Dwayne Wade's girl.
Yeah.
Eva Longoria and Kendall Jenner. And if you don't know who the last two
I know who
broads
they are,
I know
who
then,
they are.
Yeah, okay.
So, I think I'd fuck Gabby Union. I would marry Eva Longoria, and I'm killing Kendall Jenner.
Damn it. I completely agree with that answer. Damn. I don't know if I'd say anything different.
Dude, because, I mean, like...
Dude, Eva Longoria, though, I mean, I know it was only acting, but she seemed like a crazy bitch in that one show that she that made her famous.
Oh, Desperate Housewives?
Yeah, Desperate Housewives.
Dude, she's so bad, though. Dude, fucking Tony Parker cheated on her ass, dude.
Did he? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what a fucking idiot, man. Come on, Tony. I mean, what are you doing, man?
I would marry the shit out of Eva Longoria.
Yeah, and Gabby Union's hot, so I'd hit that. And I mean, Kendall Jenner, like, oh my god, I just don't want to be involved with all that, you know, keeping up with the Kardashians bullshit. I don't even want to associate. Like, okay, like I'm gonna be real here. Like, if I had the opportunity to fuck Kendall Jenner, would I do it? No fucking shit. But I mean, if you're putting her up against Eva Longoria and Gabby Union, like,
yeah,
it's an obvious answer, man.
Yeah, the only thing about me fucking Kendall Jenner is that I might accidentally just choke her to death. I might just kill every Kardashian there is if I could do it without being put into jail.
Pretty lukewarm take there. Just lukewarm.
Yeah, a little dark. Let's move forward. Let's talk underrated players.
Underrated players. Yeah. Let's go.
And I'm gonna give you my top five underrated players in the NBA right now.
Go ahead.
No particular order. Buddy Hield, a.k.a. Buddy Love or Buddy Fresh with the Sacramento Kings.
Love him.
Yo, he out here with De'Aaron Fox fucking Willie actually Carly making Stein. The Kings a decent team.
Marvin Bagley.
Carly Stein's pretty tight, too. But let's move on to Joe Ingles, three-point specialist for the Utah Jazz. Jrue Holiday, super slept on guard for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yep, yep.
Puts up 20-point games, puts up them assists, dishes out the ball. Yo, I got Lonzo Ball in there because...
Respect.
People are sleeping on his defensive presence, man. They're sleeping on it. He's shutting down all these point guards. And people are sleeping that he actually improved his shot this year. He is shooting better. Is he shooting like a stud? No. But he's getting there. And you know what? Shooting is something you can practice, and I think Lonzo Ball still has potential.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at his shooting form. His shooting form has improved from last year to this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see him. He's working in the gym. He's putting in the work. And, you know, it hasn't materialized completely yet, but you can at least respect the hustle that he's coming. It's coming. Take time.
And I'm really excited to talk about my last guy here, Nikola Vucevic.
Vucevic, yeah.
Vucevic.
Mm-hmm.
For the Orlando Magic. And, I mean, that's because this guy's putting up 20 points a game, 11.5 rebounds, and almost 4 assists as a center. We're talking about another guy who's the next generation of centers out here, you know.
Yep. He's one of those guys. He's one of those Porzingis, Jokic kind of guys.
Karl Anthony Towns.
Yep. Another European guy just fucking shooting lights out.
I'll throw in Joel Embiid in there. I'll throw in that African.
Yeah. Even though he's had a little of a slump. He seems to have like a His self-esteem seems to be kind of low right now.
Well, it's because Jimmy Butler is the new alpha of the team.
Yeah. And, you know, that interview he had, that he was like, oh, I'm ass, I suck, it's because we suck, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. I mean, you could say, like, he's having, like, issues with, like, his self-esteem or whatever, but, I mean, the guy's just being honest.
Yeah, and, you know, I love Joel Embiid, and I love his humor, and I also feel like that's just him just being who he is, and that's just him cracking just cracking a joke about his performance.
Yeah,
he played a little booty hole, and so he called himself ass in a post-game interview, and you know what? I applaud him for that, man. You know, like, we all have bad games, and Joel Embiid, it's just a matter of time that he learns how to play with Jimmy Butler in the lineup. And honestly, I mean, Jimmy Buckets, he's been coming in huge for them in late game scenarios. He's been clutch as hell.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out, though. I mean, I think it's a little too early to like dictate what his impact has been on the team. But, you know, come playoff time, you know, the East is pretty interesting this year. You got the Bucks, you got the Celtics, you got the Pistons even. So, I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how Jimmy Buckets plays out there.
Pistons got some serious twin towers with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond.
Yeah, that front court, man. You don't want to go down there. You're playing with the trees over there.
That's a scary fucking forest, man.
Hell yeah. But, okay, so moving on to my top five underrated players in no particular order. First guy, Clint Capela. You know, Clint Capella, what is he doing this year? He's averaging 17 points a game, 12 rebounds a game, and 2 blocks per game. And, you know, like, whenever you see, like, 2 blocks, oh, that's not that. Like, that's actually, like, fucking incredible. Like, 2 blocks per game this guy is averaging. And, you know, people always talk about, like, the best centers in the NBA. You hear Karl Anthony Towns. You hear about Jokic. You hear about AD. But, like, no one ever really seems to talk about Clint Capella. And for that reason, he's gonna be in my top 5 underrated players. Clint Capella. Big up Clint Capella, man. Next player, he's a Clipper. It's Lou Williams. Lou Williams, man. He has been fucking clutch in late game situations. Like, this fucking guy, man. I'm literally watching a clip right now. Like, they were, like, down in New Orleans. And, like, with, like, the clock was just expiring. I see Danilo Gallinari, like, taking a shot, just fucking fakes it, passes it to Lou Will. He cushions the three, and they ultimately win the game. Like, You talk about Lou Williams, this guy is a fucking scoring machine, and he's incredibly clutch. Yeah. And he's 32 years old.
Another super defensive point guard as well.
Yeah, and another thing, this fun fact, he was a second-round pick, 45th pick by Philadelphia. So, I mean, that just goes to show, sleeper. Like, don't ever – once the first round over in the draft, that doesn't mean there isn't any more talent, because
goes for all sports.
Guys like Lou Williams, man.
The Chiefs passed all their past star running backs, Kareem. I don't want to get into that story, but Kareem, Jamal Charles. The Chiefs got all those guys in the third round or later. Tom Brady was drafted in the 5th round.
Exactly. So don't – I mean, that just – yeah, it just goes for all sports. Just because he's a second rounder or whatever doesn't mean he's ass. Look at Lou Will. Fucking guy is killing it this year. And, okay, up to my next one, another Clipper, Tobias Harris. Dude, Tobias Harris is having – I think he's having the best year of his career, like, for sure. Like, his career average in points is 15. Dude's averaging 21 points per game this year. Like, whenever you think about the Clippers, like, they don't really have, like, a clear star, but
– they're just really balanced.
They're really balanced, and, dude, Doc Rivers is a great coach. And he's letting us know right now. Like, okay, you look at the Clippers on paper before the season starts. Like what do you think, like, they're going to finish in?
Starting, if we're going back to when the season started, I say the Clippers maybe, emphasis on maybe, are a playoff team. Right now they're a game and a half behind first place. They're 17-10, and they only about a week ago, maybe a little bit more. But it wasn't that far away from now that they were actually first place in the Western Conference.
And exactly.
They were
for, like, a little bit. So, I mean, yeah, Tobias Harris, 8 rebounds a game. He's even dishing the rock a little bit, 2.2 assists per game, 21 points per game. Tobias Harris, he's a fucking stud. He's 26 years old. You know, I think he is entering that prime stage of his career. And I'm really excited to see what he does these next couple years.
Yeah, and so another team other than the Clippers who have been quite the surprise in the Western Conference have been the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
At one point, they also were in first place, and they've since sunk down to 6th. But in the Western Conference, I mean, it's everyone's only within a game away from each other. I mean, it's the more competitive conference in the sport right now. It may be the most competitive conference in all of sports right now, to be honest.
Honestly, yeah.
But what I want to ask you, Mateo, is are the Clippers and Grizzlies as for real as they have been playing so far in the first 26 games? Will they continue to be in the top 8 seeds, and will they make it to the playoffs?
When we're comparing the Clippers and the Grizzlies, the Grizzlies, like, they could make the playoffs, but when I look at the Clippers, I think they definitely will make the playoffs. I have more confidence in the Clippers than I do the Grizzlies. And the main reason being, like, I just have way more trust in Doc Rivers as a coach, and they're just a more balanced team. I mean, Mike Conley, he's still going hard for the Grizzlies. They have a couple young guys. They still have Marc Gasol, who's putting up decent numbers. But as far as, like, the most balanced team and who I think will actually make it to the playoffs and possibly have a little playoff run, I got to go with the Clippers on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, right on. You know, I agree with you. I think the Clippers are a little better than the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And I think Doc Rivers is coaching this team very well. I don't know why he couldn't figure it out with Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan and Blake, but he's figuring it out now with some guys who are not nearly as good.
Yeah, and the ironic thing about that is Doc Rivers trades away his son, and like they instantly are like a fucking top team in the NBA.
He needed to do that, bro.
How fucking funny is that, dude?
Yeah.
Like people always talk about like father son chemistry, these guys have the opposite of that. He was like, "All right, son, like I'm shipping you off to Washington. Sorry, but it's what I got to do."
I mean, honestly, I don't know if I'd want my son, or I don't know if I'd want my dad in the same organization, because it can provide a lot of problems, you know? Like you're going to have your teammates always calling you out for getting daddy's treatment or some shit.
And dude, Big Baby Davis actually made like a little Instagram video like calling out Austin Rivers like, "Oh, you a daddy's boy, you a little bitch."
Exactly.
I remember that like a couple, I think that was like last year or something like that. But no, that was funny.
Okay, so the Rockets have the second worst record in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're going to bounce back?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
I definitely agree, and I think that's the team who's going to replace the Grizzlies in the top 8 that we're looking at today.
Yeah. And a few other teams that are the top 8 right now, we got the Trailblazers, the Mavericks. Honestly, like if I'm looking at the top 8 right now, I think that all these teams stay, but
you swap out the Rockets for the Grizzlies.
I'd do that, but I love Luka Doncic and I love the Mavericks right now, but if I'm being honest with myself, I don't think they could make the playoffs. I feel like the Timberwolves might catch fire and come back up there.
I think the
Jazz could. The Pelicans could. I think the Mavericks are good, and you know they're having a little. They're 14-11, but I don't know. In an 82 game season, I don't think the Mavericks are going to make the playoffs. I see the Timberwolves or the Pelicans taking that spot, even though they're struggling right now. After this long, long season, I feel like they'll definitely take over that spot, and the Mavericks will be out.
Dude, it honestly hurts me how much the Jazz have been struggling. I was a huge, or still am, huge Donovan Mitchell fan.
Yeah.
And Donovan Mitchell honestly is playing worse than Jason Tatum this year. Both of them just have dropped off the face of the earth, it seems like, in terms of their talent compared to last year. Hopefully it's just growing pains. But let's kick it off to a closing note for the show. Mateo, who is going to come out of the East? Or let's do, what will the Eastern Conference Finals be, and who's going to win it to play the Warriors?
Okay. Who's going to come out of the East? Eastern Conference Finals is Raptors-Bucks.
Completely agree.
It's Raptors-Bucks. And
76ers are going to get close, though.
Yeah, they could get close. And, I mean, the Celtics, as long as they have, like, that rotation fuck-up that's going on right now, I just don't think they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're not they are the same team as they were last year, but, again, they're, like, not at the same time, if you know what I mean. And Gordon Hayward's absence, I feel like it was better for the Celtics to not even have Gordon Hayward on the floor.
No, yeah.
As much as I like Gordon Hayward, he's a great player, but, I mean, he's taking up minutes. He's taking away minutes from a young, sputting star that is Jason Tatum. So that's, like, their main issue, I feel like.
I think the chemistry they had going on last year, honestly, is a better team than whatever they have going on right now.
Yeah.
I think they need to do a little bit of improvement by reduction. Like, I think they need to get rid of a few guys. They were playing better when it was Marcus Smart, when it was Jaylen Brown, when it was Terry Rozier, and Jason Tatum, Al Horford on the court.
And Jaylen Brown is like, he's on the bench now, which is like kind of weird. I don't really know what Brad Stevens is doing. Like last year, like I looked at Brad Stevens, I'm like, okay, this is like the best coach in the NBA, like hands down.
Yeah.
But right now, like, I don't know if I would. I think Doc Rivers is the best coach in the NBA right now. I'd give him the title over Brad Stevens right now, especially with the.
You still even better than Pop? I mean, I know the Spurs are struggling,
dude. Like,
Pop is Pop.
I'm not
though.
Even talking about like okay, like yeah, historically Popovich is the best like active.
You're saying
coach,
current right? performance.
I'm talking current performance. Like, I think I got to give it to Doc Rivers because when you look at the circumstances they're in, they don't have a star. I debate it. Like, they don't even have a single all-star Like, I don't think anyone on the Clippers will be an all-star this year.
No.
So that's what I'm
saying. Kawhi could be a Clipper.
Kawhi could be a Clipper.
And the Clippers are making themselves look like a really cool destination for him.
Yeah. And going back to Kawhi, the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, no, I got the Raptors and the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
How huge would it be for Canada if Toronto plays the Warriors in the finals?
Oh, it'd be huge. And, you know, fucking guys like Drake, fucking, like, all these Canadians, they'll go crazy for the Raptors.
There'll be a new hit song about it, about Kawhi playing for the finals.
But no, Raptors Bucks Eastern Conference Finals 2018. I'll take the Raptors in six games. Okay, so in conclusion for this podcast, we are going to discuss the MVP candidates. So Chris Jones, who do you got MVP?
You just want to list out me to list out like all the names I think, or
first of all, who do you think is the front runner as of right now?
Front runner as of right now. I would say Giannis.
Okay. You know what? I agree with that because you look at what Giannis has done this year. I mean, no one expected really the Bucks to be this good, and it's solely because of Giannis. So, yeah. I mean,
he has talent around him. He has Chris Middleton, as we mentioned earlier, yeah. Who's underrated.
Chris Middleton.
He has Eric Bledsoe. But, I mean, outside of that, I mean, we're talking about guys like Henson. We're basically talking about
Henson actually got traded.
He did?
He did.
Oh, shit.
He got traded to the Cavs. Yeah, they actually got George Hill.
That's right. That's right.
George fucking Hill, man.
You know, that's a tough pickup. They're gonna fuck with that come playoff time.
I have a sentimental thing with Dellavedova because, you know, he was basically the number two guy in the 2015 finals. With Kyrie out, Kevin Love out. Like, he was, I remember this meme. It was like, you can't get Curry at the deli shop.
Yeah.
You can't get Curry at the deli shop. That's fucking cheesy as fuck, whatever. I fucked with it. Big LeBron guy, as I said. But no, back to Giannis. Yeah, I definitely agree. I got Giannis as my MVP front runner as well. And the interesting thing is, I'm looking at it right here, his three-point percentage is really bad. It's 12%. And we were talking about earlier, like, this new age of like shooting in the NBA, he's kind of like an anomaly almost. Like, he can't shoot for shit.
He doesn't need to, though.
He doesn't need to, and he's the front runner MVP. A guy who can't shoot threes is the front runner for the MVP.
Well, it's because he's a freak of nature. The guy is, what was he, 6'8"?
Yeah, he's 6'8", and he's fucking like...
Yeah, he looked that up while I keep talking, but the dude is 6'8". He's got a freak of nature wingspan. His wingspan is insane. And he's incredibly fast. He's as fast as any shooting guard there is in the league. So the guy drives the lane like he's Russell Westbrook, but he's the size of Joel Embiid.
He's 6'11".
His wingspan's even taller than him. So, yeah, when this guy drives the lane and when he wants to slam it down, there ain't nothing stopping him. And that's why it doesn't matter what his shooting percentage is like. Because he's not taking the outside shots.
Exactly. And, so this guy's a beast. He's averaging 27 points a game, 13 rebounds a game, one block per game, player efficiency rating of 28.64. I mean, this guy's fucking killing it.
He's honestly, outside of Russell Westbrook, LeBron, I'd put these three guys, Giannis, LeBron, and Westbrook, they're my favorite guys to watch in the league, honestly. Yeah. Because they can just take over games single-handedly. They can get a rebound on the defensive end, turn around, and just storm rush the court and slam it into the hoop on the other end.
Yeah.
It is thrilling to watch them go.
It is. You know, it's like OG basketball. Like, yeah, sure, like watching people hit threes all game. Like, I guess, like, yeah, it's entertaining for a little bit. But
no,
like,
let's see some motherfucker go through another motherfucker.
Yeah, Giannis and fucking LeBron and fucking Russell. Those guys are the guys to watch for that. Speaking of LeBron, he's in my top three for MVP race this year.
He has to be.
As far as like my top three, it's like it goes Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi. And I mean,
No Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. I mean, because I feel like Kawhi, LeBron, and Giannis have had a much higher impact on their squad than what Anthony Davis has had on his squad. And I'm gonna admit, like, without
the Pelicans
Anthony Davis,
they're not in the top eight. As we speak today, that obviously can change. You know, we're only 26, 27 games in, but
Yeah, and I mean, dude, the Lakers without LeBron, like, what would they be? We know what the Lakers are without LeBron. Look at them last year. They're just garbage. Garbage without LeBron.
It took the Lakers 25 games to get 15 wins this season. You know how many games it took them to get 15 wins last year?
How long did it take?
42 games.
Well, there you go.
So LeBron basically shaved 17 games off to get the same result so far.
Exactly. Fucking LeBron James, a beast, like always. If it were up to me, this guy would have 15 MVPs right now. That's just me, though. All right, guys, that wraps it up for today. The first episode of the Give and Go podcast with me, Mateo Danner, and
Chris Jones.
Thank you for listening. Once again, we're presented by Bag of Donuts Sports, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks, guys.
Merry Christmas.